Good morning. It's good to see you. To again be able to be together and worship is a blessing we thank God for. And as we turn our attention to His Word, we hope that our study will be useful to us. If you're visiting, we welcome you. If we can assist you in further study and knowledge of God's Word, we want to do that. And certainly, if you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you today to become one. The most important decision that we'll ever make in our life is the decision to go to Jesus Christ and be forgiven of our sins against Him. Today, you can do that by faith. You can repent. You can confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. He will add you to His church. He'll save you, and you'll have the hope of heaven that is a living hope and a life now that is that is dedicated to God and to faithfulness to Him, or one that will bring you blessings and blessings to others who are in your life as well. Of that we're confident. And so we want to help you if you need the salvation of Jesus Christ today. As Christians, we are to continually examine ourselves. And it could be that we found sin in our hearts and lives. We want to go to God and seek His mercy and tender forgiveness if we'll repent of those sins. And we can pray together about something public, or if you need to correct some sin that is public, we urge you to use this opportunity as well. At the end of our study today, we might do as the Word of God says, that if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'd like to build upon what the psalmist wrote, as Tanner just read for us in the 119th Psalm. He said in verse 93, "I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life." God is the giver of life, and by His precepts, by His instruction, by His laws, He gives that life to us. And so the psalmist said, "I will never forget your precepts." There's a time to remember. Now, unfortunately, it seems like more and more my time to remember is after I've already left home and remembered I forgot something, I had to go back and get it. I think that happened this week at least once. More and more it seems. But that's really not what Solomon is talking about in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1 when he said there is a season for everything and a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time, a season for everything. That is, our life on earth is filled with a variety of things, and he talks about from birth to death, the various things that constitute life and fill our lives. And unquestionably, one of the things that life is about is remembering. We have holidays that we remember, birthdays that we remember, memorials that we remember. Remembering is a good thing. Memory is a blessing from God. God gave us the ability to remember, to call to mind, and to remind ourselves from that memory. Those things that are useful to us, those things perhaps that are incentives for us to make certain decisions now. There's a whole variety of things that memory serves. And our ability to remember ought to be seen as a blessing God gives us if we're remembering the right things for the right purposes. Certainly, memory can be a hindrance if we call to mind those things that are not beneficial to us and do not allow those things in turn to motivate a correction. If we can remember the sin of the past and turn to God for His mercy, for His forgiveness, and for the course of righteousness, then even remembering those bad things can be a good thing if we use it in that way. Memory, though, and what we want to think about and consider about memory is that it's useful. It's profitable for us to remember the right things. And I like to remind us ourselves of some things we ought to be remembering. We ought to remember our Creator. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Solomon wrote, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. And the years draw nigh when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" Solomon says that it's wise, it's beneficial for the young person to remember the Creator while you're young. to begin to put God first in your life early and often, because you see, difficult days come as life continues. That is, the word is evil days. The days of calamity, the days of trial, the days that are difficult. And while the young person, no doubt at times, thinks that can get overwhelmed, even in their young life, with trials and a variety of challenges and things, truth be told, as you get older, those increase. There's more and more, because you take more responsibility, more things that call for your attention, and can draw your attention away from God more and more. So it's wise to start a pattern early to remember the Creator, to remember Him in prayer, to remember Him in faithfulness, to remember Him in every respect. In fact, look at some of the ways that the Bible says that, and maybe not only ways, but why we ought to remember the Creator. And that is, we ought to remember Him just because He created us. Dan spoke about that a moment ago, and the blessings that He gives us. We'll combine that with this point, that God would create us and give us life. It's something we ought to remember. Because, you see, the world around us says we're just the result of chance. We out of some quirk of billions of years ago, life started, and really you just happened along with no real purpose or anything like that. Yet the Word of God says, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" That is, God is mindful, thoughtful of man. The Son of Man that you visit him. For you have made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor. God created you. God gave you life. And not only did he give you life, he gave you glory and honor. Now, what do you mean glory and honor? Well, here's what he means. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have a position of honor because you have a place of superiority over everything else God has created. With that comes responsibility, and with that comes blessing. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen. Every beast of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and the path that pass through the paths of the sea. All of God's creatures are under the rule of man. We're at the top of the chain. And they say that should occasion thankfulness. That should occasion humility. That should occasion a remembering of the Creator who put us there. Over his creation. We didn't create it. Neither has it always existed. But God, in his divine declaration, spoke and it came into being. And so David says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." You see, when David contemplated, as he's with his sheep in the field, and he looks up and he sees the stars, and he sees all of the world around him, he contemplates, "What am I? What am I that you would think of me?" That's why you need to think of God, because God thought of you. God knows you. God knows your life. God knows what you're thinking. He knows what your aspirations are. He knows what your goals are. He knows what you want to do and be in life. If you're not remembering God, then you need to start, because He's remembering you. And He's given you a place of great blessing in this life. He gives the rain and the fruitful seasons. He gives life itself. He gives the opportunities that you have before you. He gives you the ability to set goals and aspirations and objectives in your life. He gives you, as Brother Dan noted, the ability to labor, to work, to provide for ourselves, our families. He gives us the ability to enjoy the blessings of the world. Do we remember Him with thankfulness? Do we remember to thank God? You see, if we don't remember that He's the giver, then how can we ever remember to be thankful? And when we don't live with thankfulness, what happens? Then we begin to live selfishly, don't we? If we don't live with gratitude in our heart toward God and others, then we end up living for ourselves, selfishly and arrogantly, pridefully. And in that, of course, we have forgotten our Creator, and we will lose our souls. But look also, we ought to be remembering that not only did God plan for our life here on earth, but He planned for our redemption when we would sin against Him. When we would not be thankful to God, when we would be unthankful and unholy, when we would be despisers of God rather than lovers of God. Before the foundations of the earth were created, He planned our redemption through the Son. Ephesians 1:3-7. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We ought to be remembering that God did much, much more than bless you with a good life here on earth. He has provided the ability for you to have eternal life with Him. And that far exceeds every blessing of the present world. Because you see, we can live without shelter and have an eternal home. We can live in poverty and have a celestial kingdom. We can live with deprivation in this world and yet with the joy of heaven. We need to remember our God and what He's done. We need to remember, as we'll mention in just a moment, the Savior who accomplished that. So He said, remember Him in your youth, before the hardening of you. For young person, hear me. Set a pattern of remembering God right now. Parents, help them. Help your children. Set the pattern of honoring God, of being faithful to God, of knowing that God is real, that God is the one who gave you life. He gave you a home. He gave you parents. He gave you food. He gives you life, and He gives you salvation from your sin. And He deserves your honor. He deserves your thankfulness. He deserves your faithfulness. Remember Him in your youth. Young person, you're not a Christian, and you know you ought to be a Christian. I'm going to ask you this morning, why aren't you a Christian? You know you ought to be a Christian, that you ought to be saved from your sins. I want to challenge you, why not? And what does God think about that? Are you remembering God? And maybe you're older. And maybe you haven't been as faithful as you should. You haven't been remembering God like you ought. Again, the question is, why not? We need to be remembering God always, every day. Let's start remembering God, His faithfulness. Let's start doing that, as the psalmist said, by remembering God's precepts, by remembering the words of Christ. Jesus said, remember my words while I was with you in John 15:20. Jesus calls attention of the apostles to His words. Paul said in Acts 20:35, to remember the words of the Lord that said it's more blessed to give than to receive. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ ought to be in our mind, ought to be in our memory, because He is the truth. He is the Word. We ought to be remembering and calling to mind what Jesus said, because it's His Word that frees us from the bondage of sin. Remember, from your precepts give life, the psalmist said. Well, it's the words of Jesus that gives life. If you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from the bondage of sin. It will not be creeds that men have written, that churches have endorsed. It will not be political platforms that save you and free you from the bondage of sin. It will be the gospel of Jesus Christ. It will be His word. Because you see, His word cleanses us, cleanses our soul. Jesus said in John 15:3, you're already clean because of the word God has spoken to you. His apostles had believed His word. They were following His word, and there was cleansing from sin. That's got to be the relationship that we have with the word of Jesus. We want to be clean from sin. We want to be free from sin. We want to walk in truth and go to the Father. Remember the words of Christ. Of course, we can't remember the words of Christ if we're not studying the words of Christ, can we? If we're not reading the words of Christ, if we're not learning His Word, how can we be sanctified by it? how can we be set apart from the world when we put the world's words into our hearts, the world's values into our minds, the world's goals, and the world's hopes into our life? But only when we put Christ's words into our heart and into our life, then we have these blessings. We've got to remember His words. We've got to remember it's going to judge us in the last day. Just remember there is a day of judgment. Very important reason why we need to remember His word now, because in the day of judgment, our life will be compared to that word, and we will get an account of how we've lived. So we have to spend time with God's word. We have to spend time with it. That's a decision that we make in our lives of how we'll use our time, whether or not we will spend time with learning, knowing, and living the Word of God, the Word of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 with me. It says, we're going to be familiar with 2 Timothy 2:15. Give diligence or study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to use God's word in a diligent manner to be able to be approved in His sight. And so Peter said, as newborn babes, we're to desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby unto salvation. Unless we desire the word of Christ, we won't be remembering it. We won't be bringing it to mind. And of course, if we don't read it, we won't have the ability to do that. You know what we'll do? We'll say, well, I heard somebody say, or someone one time told me, well, I think it says somewhere, we need a better memory than that. We need a memory that can take us to the Word of God or know how to find it in the Word of God. We need a memory that says, this is what I meditate upon. This is what I think about. Look at Psalm 119. See, we meditate upon it, it means we have it before us. We're learning it and living it. Psalm 119:15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Now, so the psalmist would say, I will not forget your word. That means he has learned God's word. He is meditating on it. He is contemplating it. He is considering it. As we go through our day, at school, at work, traveling here and there, are we meditating upon God's word? Are we contemplating God's word within that context? When we go see the doctor. You know? When we go pay a bill. I mean, do we think of God and His word and will in that context? You know, what does that have to do with God? Well, hang on a minute. God said, owe no man anything, save to love one another. God said, be thankful in all things. Even in going and paying a bill, we can be thankful. God gives us the ability to meet our obligations. You see, even in those things that we think mundane, God said something about, because you see, God gave us life. And He gave us the opportunities and that come with the blessings of life. Now, we can forget God. We can go through our day and not give any thought to God, but when we do that, what happens again? We become unthankful. We forget the source of our blessing. And we also forget the importance of faithfulness and making choices that are moral and that honor God. You see, we dare not forget the words of God, of Christ, every day. Every day, His words remind us of our relationship with God, of the price of our redemption, of the hope of glory that we have, and of the choices that we're making that bring us home to heaven. We need to remember the gospel that was preached. You say, well, that's the same as the word of Jesus. That's true. But I want us to go to 1 Corinthians 15 and see what Paul said about that for just a minute. Remembering the gospel that was preached. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast." And the King James says, "if you keep in memory that word which I preached to you, unless you believed it in vain." To keep it in memory has the idea of holding it fast. We cannot hold fast the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we don't remember it. So Paul says, remember. They needed reminding. We need reminding. Peter said, "I'm going to call to your remembrance, though you know it and are established in the present truth." He said, "as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to remind you." To call to remembrance what the holy prophets of God spoke. We need to know and remember the gospel. We need to remember that it talks about repentance. It's a gospel of repentance. Mark 1, 14 and 15. And so the apostles of Christ urged a change of heart toward sin. A change of heart toward God. So that there could be entrance into the kingdom of God. Look at Mark 1, 14 and 15. This is speaking of Christ when He comes and begins preaching, teaching. It says, when John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God's at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Our ability to examine ourselves and repent of sin is because we remember the gospel. Because we believe in the gospel. Because we know what the gospel teaches. And it helps convict us of sin. It helps us learn of our sin so it can be corrected through the blood of the Savior, through the power of the gospel. We've got to be remembering the gospel. We need to remember God's grace that's revealed in the gospel. It is the word of His grace, Acts 20 and 32. It's the gospel of the grace of God, Acts 20, 24. God is a gracious God. He extends favor to us. Undeserved and yet offered to us all. Grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. It's offered to us all, but we have to remember the good news that teaches us of that grace. It teaches us how to obtain the benefit of that grace as we are obedient in faith to the will of God. Look at Romans 15, please, verses 18 and 19. Paul says, I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me, in word and in deed, to make the Gentiles obedient, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now, look, he talks about preaching the gospel of Christ in these areas. But as he preaches the gospel, he is speaking of the things that Christ has accomplished through him. And why is that? To make the Gentiles obedient. Preaching the gospel is for the purpose of bringing people to obedience. He'll say in chapter 16, it's for the obedience to the faith. 16:26. See, the gospel is preached so we can obey. We have to remember it, bring it to our memory, so that we will continue to be obedient to God. Are we taking time with the gospel? You see, we have to remember it to live faithfully. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, Paul said in Philippians 1:27. How do I know how to live unless I'm remembering the gospel? They're fundamental. But you see, it cannot be taken for granted. We cannot take for granted the gospel. But in memory, using the faculty God has given us, our memory, calling attention to what the gospel says, it helps us live faithfully for the hope that's laid up in heaven for us. Again, it's in the gospel that we learn of our hope. And if we've forgotten about heaven, because we've forgotten about the gospel, and we've forgotten about what God has done for us, providing this hope of heaven for us. We need to be, therefore, remembering. And Paul said, remember this gospel. Hold fast. Call to memory the gospel that I preached. And you received it. And in which you stand, if you hold it fast. And by which you're saved, he said. You see that progression in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2. Unless you believed in vain. Brethren, have we believed in vain? He says we can believe in vain. If we don't hold it fast, if we don't stand in it, if we don't call it to memory, then all the benefit of the gospel to us becomes vain. Becomes empty. Becomes useless. We have to choose to use the gospel in our lives. And that's because, and that comes by remembering. Remembering the Word of God. Keep it in memory. That we might obey it and be saved. Remind ourselves of the death of Jesus. I mentioned this earlier. We need to remember that Jesus died. We're talking about remembering our Creator, remembering that He gave us all these blessings of the flesh, the blessings of the physical. He gives us spiritual blessings in Christ, blessings that go beyond the here and now into eternity. And so Paul said in Hebrews 2:9, we see Jesus. We see Him. He's before our eyes, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Hebrews 10, that Brother Dan read for us earlier, says God prepared a body for the Savior. He prepared that body. He came in the flesh and He died on the cross. Why? That by the grace of God He might taste of death for everyone. He died for me and you. God gave Him a body. He came in the flesh and He died on the cross so you and I could live. That's what we have to remember. It is a sacrifice He made for our sins. Galatians 1 and 4. God commended His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Are we remembering Jesus died? And that's why I live with God today. But if you're not a Christian, you're not living with God yet. You need to become a Christian. You need to be saved from your sins so that truly you are living rather than in the death of sin. You need to remember the death of Jesus because that's the only way to have remission. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Again, Hebrews 10 and verse 4, as we read a moment ago. Go back to that same chapter. And you see, in contrast to the blood of bulls and goats, the blood of the Son, the blood of the Savior, that by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That body that God prepared for the Savior, Jesus came in the flesh and He died. That body was put to death. It was offered once for all. Verse 18, where there's remission, there's no longer an offering for sin. You see, the fact that Jesus died for sin once necessarily implies, we necessarily conclude, it was sufficient to take away sin. Unlike the multiple animal sacrifices that were done over and over and over for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years under the law of Moses. One death on the cross, the Son of God, one time, and there's remission. But if we don't remember that death, we're not going to take advantage of its blessing. If we're not brought to the cross by our own sin, if our sin does not drive us to the cross, then in our case, Jesus died in vain. Will He die in vain because we're unwilling to go to His cross? Because we're unwilling to remember that that death was a death in which He bore and experienced the punishment I was due. We were due. We were due to death. The call to gospel is to remember the death of Jesus, that He bore our sins in His body on the tree. Lord's Supper helps us remember the death rightly, as we've done today. As we remember His body and remember His blood, do this in remembrance of me, Jesus said. It is a time of calling to mind the sacrifice made, the offering given. not merely that someone died on the cross, but the Son of God without sin died for me, bore my sin. He died so that I can go to heaven and not die in hell forever and ever and ever. The Lord's Supper provides such an opportunity. But certainly it's not the only time we ought to remember His death, is it? We need to be remembering the death of Jesus every day. You see, every day, you and I are supposed to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow Him. He sets the example. And so in the supper, while we eat, to remember His death, and such a time has been provided us, in truth, really, we are to have Jesus before our eyes always. The fact that He died, that you and I live. One other thing we need to remember before we close the study, and that is we need to remember from where we've fallen from time to time. In Revelation 2 and in verse 5, Jesus says to write to the angel of the church of Ephesus and say, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." Now, He says this to brethren who, in verse 4, He had said, "I have this against you, you have left your first love." So remember from where you've fallen. Personal examination is essential because it's possible that we've left our first love. It's possible that we begin loving someone else or something else more than our first love, than our Lord Jesus Christ. That takes personal examination to see whether we're in the faith. That takes remembering the Word of Christ to do that examination. Remembering the gospel that we're to be holding fast and allow it to convict us and allow it to reprove us and allow it to correct us. We're in the remembering from where we've fallen. It means remember where you used to be. It's important sometimes to remember where we were spiritually and then assess. Am I where I used to be? Have I deteriorated in my faith, or have I gotten stronger in my faith? Our memory can help us. So let's remember where we stood when we became a Christian. Where we stood as time went by. Am I growing? Am I pressing toward heaven? Or have I turned back? Have I become negligent? Have I become apathetic? You see, have I begun to sin willfully, neglecting the will of God? If I do that, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, Hebrews 10 says. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment, the fierceness of fire that will devour the adversary. Remembering where we used to be in our faith and then do an honest assessment of where I am today can help us correct ourselves in the gospel, repent of our sin to avoid returning to the muck and the mire of sin. Remember 2 Peter 2? If after they've escaped the pollutions of the world to the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's where we stood. Remember, Jesus said, remember from where you've fallen. So the Ephesian Christians in that context had escaped the pollution of the world. They had come to a knowledge of the Lord. They'd been saved. But they had become entangled. They had left their first love. They were told to repent and do the first works. Because here's the condition you're in if you don't. He says the last is worse than the first, and it's better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. It happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returning to his own vomit and a sow having washed the wallowing in the mire. That's the picture of the Christian who turns back to sin. The dog turning back to eat its own vomit. The Christian who turns back to a life of sin after being purified by the blood of the Savior. Remember from where you have fallen. There's a way back. There's a way of God's mercy. There's a way of God's forgiveness. There's a way of repentance. If we will change our heart and do the first works, the works of faith, the first work, he's going to
Do that which you did at the beginning. Do that that submitting of your heart, that humbling of yourself, that obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to remember where we were before we can do that. We have to remember where we were. It's caution to each of us. Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. See, we can all fall. And so we all must hear the caution. We must all be using our memory, remembering, and being careful not to fall. And if we find in our memory that we have, to repent and do the first work. Peter said, 2 Peter 1:10-12, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly through the everlasting into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, although you know them and are established in the present truth." You know the truth, you're established in the truth. Peter said, "I'm going to remind you. I'm going to remind you to keep growing. I'm going to remind you to be even more diligent, to make your calling and election sure. I'm going to remind you so you won't stumble, so that you'll have an entrance into the eternal kingdom." Remember. Remember God. Remember the words of Christ, the gospel that was preached. Remember the death of our Savior. Remember that if you've fallen, there's a way back through the blood of the Savior. To do the first works again, through repentance, through confession of that sin, through obedience to the gospel of Christ and all things. If we can help you come to God and be saved, or return from having fallen as a Christian, we urge you to come right now while together we stand and sing.